The Naive Theater of the Air presents Rewired by Matthew Broyles. Episode 22, A Monster for a Monster.
Gabriella had not expected to see the inside of the White House again quite so soon. Certainly it was not President Almerito's preference. But given the events of the past few hours, no other options remained. The Situation Room was full. Gabriella and Taylor squared off across the table with Secretary Wendell and the Joint Chiefs. Powers sat at Gabriella's side, dutifully avoiding her as he chatted with other corporate defense heads seated adjacently. Taylor stole the occasional glance at the big man, who he knew had history with Gabriella. The two had appraised each other upon entering and shaking hands. She noticed and enjoyed the friction, absorbing the energy like a battery. Taking his seat, Almerito betrayed little, apart from a sense of urgency that was shared by all present.
Secretary Wendell, have there been any updates in the past hour?
Mr. President, Chairman Weiss has just concluded an address in which he announced a 50% reduction in wall perimeter defenses.
He what?
It is, of course, too early to ascertain the validity of the claim, but on its face, the move does seem to be consistent with Dr. Barrett's strategy.
Which is?
He clearly wants us to believe that he has a Vaughan-based countermeasure ready in the event of a U.S. attack.
And Weiss is on board with this?
Weiss is Barrett's man. We know that. Horowitz is probably rallying his supporters in opposition as we speak.
Horowitz is not in any shape to rally much of anything, from what I've seen.
I mean Horowitz's proxies, of course. Weiss didn't win that election by much. If Barrett drives him too far out on a limb, a recall is inevitable from our observation.
With respect, Secretary, James Barrett does not endanger himself easily. Whatever he's got in his pocket, we must assume he believes it will withstand public scrutiny.
Little gray men? He expects people to believe his army of Martians is ready to deploy at his command.
The wired world is out of touch with public opinion in the diaspora. Belief in the Vorn is well over 60%, and within that population, sentiment as to their intent is split right down the middle. They're splintering.
Our analysts believe this to be an attempt at healing the public rift regarding the Vorn, as referenced by Dr. Neidhart.
Be that as it may, the fact is that we have actionable military intelligence as to Dr. Lilly's whereabouts. The target is not within scramble range, or we would have detected the signature. Given the knowledge that the primary Vorn research conducted by the diaspora is taking place at that location, I advise an immediate strike.
You can't be serious. And hand Barrett his victory on a platter?
Nip it in the bud. Cut it off at the root. Lilly is the reason for this whole state of affairs, and we will not be rid of the infestation until he is eliminated. We won't get a better chance than this.
The gray-maned, bespectacled Carol Sims, defense chief at the immense Holstein Corporation, leaned in earnestly.
I would advise a careful examination of the potential blowback here. The wire has not always fully insulated us in these circumstances.
There was an appreciable silence. Everyone present knew exactly what she meant. The obliteration of New Orleans at the peak of the secession sorely tested the limits of how quickly and effectively public opinion could be molded. The wire worked in subtle ways, gearing people towards assumptions slowly, so that when events occurred, the window through which they viewed them was optimal for corporate and state stability. An all-out blitzkrieg on a large American city did not fit neatly into that window. New Orleans was a tourist hub, a place that many people in the wired world had been to personally and could picture in their minds. Shock at the destruction of the city and its people competed fiercely with accusations of terrorist activity and widespread anarchy. Despite the power of the wire, President Holloway had been forced into resignation 28 years ago, in order to quell the unrest among wired Americans. Foreign leaders, pressured by their constituencies, called for his head, along with many members of Congress. It was an ugly time that no one wanted to revisit.
I assure you, ma'am, no one here is suggesting a full frontal engagement. Given the size of the target, a surgical TH-150 missile strike would be sufficient to neutralize the threat.
TH-150? That's almost a nuke.
There will be no mushroom cloud. No one outside the Republic, and very few within, has any idea where Aeolian is. Tears will not be shed.
They will on the net. Nothing could possibly unite the diaspora nations more than the execution of Dr. Lilly again. We saw what happened the first time they thought we'd killed him.
Then the worst-case scenario is a stalemate. Status quo. They stay on their side, we stay on ours. But this Vorn nonsense gets shut down, and then Lilly is out of the picture. That seems like something you ought to be in favor of, Dr. Neidhart.
Except that this time Barrett has something. I know this man better than I ever cared to. He does not put his ass in the breeze for nothing.
You think the Vorn are real?
It doesn't matter. This is not about facts. This is about people and what they believe. I have spent 10 years wedging this fissure open, and you're suggesting we slam it shut before it breaks them apart.
You don't think this new development does the same thing? It's Dr. Lilly who unites them. He's the one thing they agree on.
And you don't find it suspicious that the video address we're arguing about was made by Barrett and not Dr. Lilly?
Clearly Barrett is in touch with him.
Believe me when I tell you the one person in this world who wants to publicly humiliate Waylon Lilly more than me is James Barrett. There is no way in hell that Waylon would allow those pictures to be released like that without his own analysis accompanying them. This is a setup.
A little defensive of him there, aren't you, Doctor?
Look through the intel files from the reclamation. Barrett left plenty of bile behind, almost as much as I did. They are not friends.
A lot of time has passed between then and now. Enemies of enemies become friends.
They do while they face a common threat, but not when they are uprooted by wars between their own fanatical followers, which is exactly what Barrett is trying to stave off.
So far, we have only heard one proposed plan of action. In the interest of a full array of options, might I ask what the NSA would recommend?
Wendell hid his contempt poorly, but he did not speak. Almerito sat back. A momentary concession to the weight of the corpse. Gabriella had the floor.
Quite simply, we bring this to a head. We make contact with Lilly and let him know we're on to Barrett's shenanigans. His response will tell us everything we need to know.
You're suggesting we show our hand? Haley will have that place crawling with missile defense within hours.
But they already know that we see them. Levi Haley is not an idiot. He's protecting Lilly from his own people, which at the moment he obviously considers a greater threat than us. Don't you think that tells us something very important?
It tells me that we need to strike immediately. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Haley was there himself. We could throw their entire command structure into disarray.
Winning the battle, but losing the war. Two martyrs worth of solidarity for the price of one.
Dr. Neidhart, if I may, I have seen a few things in my time, more than anyone here.
No one argued her on that point. Gabriella leaned into her gaze, absorbing her attention fully. Taylor leaned back. Not so comfortable with being in the path.
It seems to me that there is something more fundamental in question here. The game of power is one thing. For all intents and purposes, we here in this room have won it. The diaspora, though occasionally unpredictable, causes no appreciable disruption in the flow of capital from wired citizens to our respective corporations. In addressing the question of rogue nations, we must keep their relative insignificance in mind. Secretary Wendell, no offense intended, but from my vantage point, the primary purpose of your position is to quarantine the diaspora.
With respect, Miss Sims, we do much more than that.
And you do it well. But given the relative size of the threat, the consequences of the actions you propose are potentially much larger than the problem itself.
I appreciate that perspective, madam. However...
Whereas the consequences of leaving the Vorn question unanswered are legion.
You're not suggesting...
I do not know what to suggest, as I'm not a scientist. But as a recipient of the rewiring procedure, I have a vested interest, as do we all, in a full and comprehensive understanding of its import. Let us not forget that we have supposed seers in our own ranks.
As uncomfortable as that business with Mr. Power's predecessor was, we need not assume.
I assume nothing. Knowledge is power. Assumption in the face of the unknown is the enemy of knowledge. Your own brain has been rerouted using techniques developed by the very man you wish to destroy, even as he seemingly attempts to address the idiosyncrasies in his design. Doesn't that bother you in the slightest?
Wendell could not accuse the head of defense affairs at Holstein Corporation of madness. Not in front of these people. He shot the president a helpless look. Almerito searched the faces of the other corp representatives, but could find no clear indicator of which way the wind blew. There was nothing for it but to ask.
We seem to be at an impasse here. Would anyone else care to comment?
The conversation went on as one by one, the corp execs expressed their best guesses. It was a mixed bag. Many were fearful of Barrett's prospective ace in the hole, but just as many thought he was bluffing. Others worried about upsetting black market cash flow and putting too much strain on the wire. In the end, as much as he hated to admit it, the president had to admit that Wendell's position of certainty was an outlier. If Almerito chose to defy the corpse, he would do so at great risk to his re-election prospects should the plan go south. It was clear that Gabriella shared his appraisal of the situation. Throughout the conversation, she turned the glow of her attention onto each speaker in turn. Almerito seethed at her audacity. And yet he was concerned that what she was saying made a bit of sense. Why hadn't Lily himself addressed Annette? Almerito knew enough of Barrett to agree that he was a sly operator. The whole thing stank a bit, he thought. Perhaps he'd gotten caught up in Wendell's thirst for Republic blood. After all the participants had said their piece, the president sat up and folded his hands on the table.
This matter will require a great deal of careful consideration. I appreciate everyone's input, and I assure you, I will take everything you have said under advisement going forward.
The defense secretary eyed him suspiciously. Almerito did not meet his gaze, instead rising to his feet, prompting the room to do likewise. On his way out, his eyes caught Gabriella's. The woman smiled. She knew he would be calling sooner than later. As the crowd bustled around her, she sat down unhurriedly and placed her phone on the desk in front of her. Wendell glared, gathering his things while Taylor shared a private conversation with Carol Sims in one corner. The woman noticed all of this on the periphery of her vision. Her eyes were fixed on the small device in front of her. She felt Powers nearby, mulling his decision over whether to engage her here or elsewhere. His decision was quick, and he departed. Snippets of conversation wound their way through the crowd, some indirectly aimed at her, some at the receding figure of Secretary Wendell. All hung tenderly upon barely hidden barbs. None were certain of what the president's decision would be. Only the woman would be able to tell them that, but they did not ask. The Situation Room was half empty when at last she saw the telltale glow upon her phone. Picking it up, she gave the message a cursory glance, pocketed the device, and strode out of the room. No one spoke to her as she passed through the crowd extruding out into the hallway. She was unimpeded in her ascent to the Oval Office, and unchallenged upon appearing before the receptionist. The door was opened, and she walked through. Almerito was on one of the couches in the center of the room, neither tense nor relaxed. His demeanor was a practiced art. He did not stand as she entered, and his expression did not change. She met his eyes as she sat on the couch opposite, and waited for him to speak. He did not wait long.
We know quite a bit about each other, Dr. Neidhart. I'm well aware of the NSA's research into my family prior to my nomination. In fact, that level of meticulous detail is one of the reasons I kept Mr. Hockaday in his position upon my election.
The woman said nothing. There was nothing to be gained from interrupting the inevitable flow that his decision-making process had embarked upon. A simple nod acknowledged his words.
So it will come as no surprise to you that I have a dog in this fight.
Only upon saying so did his eyes show a hint of something approximating concern. Nodding again, the woman unleashed a torrent of silence to pull the words from his mind and into his breath.
My cousin, Alberto, was always a little different, even before the wire. So it was easy to assume, when the vision started, that he had simply been tuning into all the Vorn talk and decided to put a name on some screw that had been working his way loose since he was born. But he wasn't like Selden. He talked very kindly about them. His friends, the little people. By that time, I was aiming for the governor's mansion, so I stopped visiting him. I get reports now and then from his father at family gatherings. He's kept indoors, away from microphones and cameras, but you know that.
The woman's face softened slightly. A concession for a concession. A gesture of trust, in this room where the lies of history lay like thick layers of dust upon every surface. The man was trying to be as human as his psyche would let him be. The effort was noticeable, and brief.
And then there are all the things I know about you, Doctor, some of which, if I may be frank, are decidedly appalling.
She did not dignify his jab with a response, and had in fact been preparing for the turnabout eventually. Its timing was unexpected, but he was an old hand at verbal sparring. A wry grin crept upon her face. Not a shred of remorse to be found. A monster for a monster. The president leaned forward, fixing his gaze upon her.
So it all comes down to this. Do you believe that the Vorn are real?
The woman paused before answering, in case he narrowed the question. He did not.
If you're asking me to state my professional opinion based on the evidence gathered so far...
I am well aware of your concerns, but we are in no position to mince words. We both know that something terrible is going to happen no matter what decision we make. This is your only chance to have a say in which direction the flames will blow, and my only chance to decide whether or not I believe you.
Part of the woman's mind mocked his gravity, his attempt to put reins onto the bolting horse. But he had drawn his lot, as had she.
As it affects the human consciousness, the Vorn phenomenon can be described as real. Which is all that matters for the purposes of our conversation here. Those who experience the condition do so with great consistency, varying mostly in individual reaction rather than discrepancy in detail.
Now it was Almerito's turn to draw her out. His expression did not change. She continued.
This differentiates the phenomenon from the category of simple hallucination. There are anecdotal correlations with wildly divergent pre-rewiring reports of similar experiences relegated largely to fringe pseudoscience in their time. The manifestation of consistency aligns squarely with the advent of the rewiring procedure. Those are the only facts that we can be sure of.
I can get this from any science textbook. You sat in that room a half hour ago and suggested to a group of the most powerful people in the world that there are extraordinary reasons why Dr. Lilly and his lab should not be wiped off the face of the earth, even after all the destruction that his legacy has caused. Those reasons and those alone are what I called you here for.
No, they're not. You called me here because you're worried that in destroying Dr. Lilly, you will be destroying the best chance your family has to understand the visions that your cousin is having. You called me here because you don't entirely believe he's crazy. And because you've seen them too.
Almerito's jaw clenched, but he did not respond.
Not in person, of course. But who can look at those videos after hearing those tales so many times and be absolutely certain that the person experiencing such a thing is crazy?
Just because we can see the illness now doesn't mean it isn't an illness.
Exactly. We both know that. But I know something that you don't. James Barrett is not insane. He is craven, ruthless, and convinced enough of his own greatness that he is not concerned about consequences on the road to whatever goal he has set before him.
Like you.
The woman's flash of anger swept quickly through the interstices between sensation and reaction. It was unlikely that the spark could be seen, but logically it could be deduced anyway, whether her face showed it or not. She sat back, inviting him to continue upon this path he had unwisely decided to tread.
Why is that, Dr. Neidhart? Why did the first two patients under Dr. Lilly's knife come out as animals?
We are all animals. The will to power is nothing new. Certainly not to this office, and certainly not to the people jockeying for position downstairs. Total psychology is proof of what those with eyes to see have known all along. We are programmable. Ironically, Dr. Lilly's attempt at evading that inescapable conclusion resulted in further confirmation. Yes, Mr. President, I was changed by Waylon Lilly. At the time, I welcomed it. Like you, I declared myself exempt from the control of the corporations. Unlike you, I did not know what would happen when that change occurred. And neither did the man who performed the operation. The only way to find out was to try. You can mock me all you like, but there's only one person in this room who had the courage to step off the map into the uncharted void. Without me, you would be nothing. A smear on the shoes of the corpse.
The woman swelled to fill the space between thought and word, building momentum. Almerito was aware of a change and sat back, as if physical distance might insulate him. She plowed onward.
You don't have half the courage of James Barrett. If he's a monster, it is because he allowed me to turn him into one, whether I knew it or not. I made him what he is, and in so doing created my own nemesis, and yours. Given this context, which one of us here is qualified to postulate an opinion on whether or not he is issuing unsubstantiated threats, regardless of their nature?
That is why you're here right now. I need you to tell me what precisely Dr. Barrett is threatening us with.
I'll take that as an admission that you didn't read the report Advisor Hockaday sent 2 days ago.
I get a lot of reports.
Not ones like this. Wired American citizens disappearing from Queens, all of them under the care of Dr. Elaine Moskowitz, all of them suffering from hallucinations. Secretary Wendell is not the only one presenting you with casualty lists, Mr. President.
What are you suggesting? That Dr. Barrett abducted them? For what reason?
I would say your guess is as good as mine, but as we've established, it is not. Suffice it to say that in the absence of a clear motive, I have made some deductive leaps that are at best distressing, at worst disastrous.
Start with disastrous.
The ability to turn wired citizens into Vorn seers.
That implies an ability to create seers in general.
Not at all. I know Moskowitz's work, as I'm sure you're aware.
Almerito nodded. He knew she had sought treatment with Moskowitz after her fall from Raxcorp.
I've met with her. She specializes in the side effects of rewiring.
And has a well-culled patient list. Anyone on her radar is a black swan. Barrett chose those people because he suspected that even without rewiring, the subjects would be prone to Vorn-like hallucinations.
What does that accomplish?
Proof of concept. And as your reaction shows, the takeaway for the layman is that the Vorn phenomenon is not limited to the rewired mind.
How does that affect us? We're not allowing that debate into the wire.
Perhaps it's not about those under the wire. He may be aiming higher than that.
This conversation, for instance.
And those like it, which are happening right now in the halls of corporate and state power. How many of us have relative like yours? We've all seen the videos by now.
If this is his plan, it only strengthens Secretary Wendell's argument. Clearly, Barrett is buying time for Lily.
Barrett doesn't give a shit about Lily. Unless...
The thought had only just occurred to Gabriella. She had to mull it for a moment before saying it out loud, pushing the vague inkling to appear outside her subconscious. It didn't want to.
Up until the day I left, James maintained that we were holding something back from him.
We? Being you and Dr. Lily?
Yes.
And were you?
She almost laughed. A catalog of all the lies she had told James, and Waylon for that matter, was too enormous to contemplate.
Nothing scientific. However, I can only speak for myself.
Do you have reason to believe Dr. Lily was holding something back from both of you?
Of course he was, she thought. It was impossible for him not to, obsessed as he was with directing the research compulsively into the mold which his mind had already designed for it, whether the reality fit or not. Only after running into his own blind spots had he realized the necessity of sharing the task with her and those who would become the team. But he did not share everything with everybody. It was likely that she knew things Barrett did not, and vice versa. However, in the intervening years, the process had been performed and refined by so many scientists now that any fundamental bedrock-level secrets would surely have been unearthed. It hit her then.
Doctor? Are you all right?
She barely heard him. A thought was perched precariously on the precipice, dividing her mind between theory and the reality. Fundamental. Bedrock. That upon which all else was based. A process built for the purposes of altering consciousness, of changing how that which is perceived is processed, and thus how it is seen. Or whether it is seen at all.
Oh my God.
Dr. Neidhart, what is it? What the hell did you just come up with?
It's baked in. I mean, it could be. We have no evidence, but then maybe we can't.
Slowly, a ghost of the thought began wafting through the president's head as well. His eyes widened.
A back door?
Her mind threw the thought against the wall, shaking it, probing it for holes, weaknesses. It was too big. No, too small. So very, very small. It would have to be. She willed her memory to recall something, anything, a telltale.
I need a patient.
A rewire?
Two patients, one of each.
Her eyes still focused on an invisible impression, whispering to her in some dimension she could hear, but not see.
Good ones, no outliers.
The president pondered this. Pulling a couple of governmental functionaries into a lab on short notice was not impossible, but he was wary of who might be watching. He knew his staff had to contain corp spies, and after that day's meeting, surveillance would be bumped up significantly until a decision was made. A decision which he had still not made, he reminded himself, and cleared his throat.
Doctor, after you get your patients, what kind of time horizon are we looking at here?
Hours, months, maybe never. If James couldn't find it...
That assumes there's something to find. We still haven't established for sure what Barrett's up to. It could be simpler.
No. That's what he wants. He's put Waylon in a position to publicly accept or reject the Vorn defect as a legitimate discovery of an alien species. But Waylon will never stand for that. He will pull out every stop to get at the root of the problem. Everything. And James will be watching. He's already proven that he can.
He booby-trapped Selden?
He developed a way to broadcast small pieces of the ODA feed. Weyland would never send undocumented lab images, least of all via HPL. The whole thing is a trap.
Doctor, either I'm starting to become paranoid, or you're onto something. I can get you your patients, but I don't know how long I can hold off the dogs if chaos breaks out.
Abruptly, she was shocked back into the room.
Mr. President, if you attack that lab, those secrets are lost forever.
Is that worse than having them fall into Barrett's hands?
She had to admit that it was a legitimate question. She did. Gabriella did. Fighting the urge to look around for the woman in the mirror, she came to the realization that somewhere in the past few minutes, the woman had gone missing. Or rather, had slipped into the background. The woman was Gabriella, and also was not. That would never change. But with her mind once again turned to the fundamental science of consciousness, older pathways lit up again. Paths that vaguely remembered the courses they took before they had been altered. The familiar, yet alien person recognized itself. Gabriella almost cried.
Dr. Neidhart?
As a politician, his sense of empathy was highly attuned, even if the data it sent was coldly calculated. But it was clear to him that something had rattled the Queen of Cold Calculation, and that fact was not something to be dismissed lightly. Seeing his expression, she pulled herself together, quickly.
I'm fine, Mr. President. I realize you may not be able to give me as much time as may be necessary to unravel this before the whole thing burns down. But I ask you to consider my original proposal.
Which one was that?
Let me speak to Dr. Lilly. He needs to know that he's in danger from Barrett.
I promise you I will consider that option carefully. There are many risks.
I know. But that is true no matter what we do.
With that, she turned to go. Again, without a goodbye or a look back. She had to go through those HPL broadcasts. Had to see some data she hadn't been over a million times already. There was a needle in this haystack, disguised as hay. Or there wasn't, and Barrett was playing her. Playing them all. But perhaps, she considered as she swept through the Oval Office door, they had all already been played long ago. Passing a mirror, she saw that the woman had caught wind of the idea. Which meant that now, authorized or not, she would find a way to talk to Weyland Lilly.
You've been listening to the Naive Theater of the Air performance of Rewired, featuring Jeffrey Sims as President Arturo Almerido, Thomas Spencer as Secretary Wendell, Petra Wright as Dr. Gabriella Neidhart, Theron Coleman as Edwin Powers, Duleen Broyles as Carol Sims, and Joshua Busey as Taylor Hockaday. Written and narrated by Matthew Broyles. Theme music by Paul Shapira. I'm Little Jack Melody. Tune in next time for episode 23, Communion.